2 Corinthians 4:13. Sometimes people ask about the name of our church, Spirit of Faith Family Church. What is the Spirit of Faith? Well, it comes from this verse, and we read about it here, and we see, but the term is mentioned here, but we see it all through the Bible. And that is what it says here. We having the same Spirit of Faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I mean, that's the way we got into this walk with God. That's the way we got the new birth. We believed that he was crucified, rose from the dead, so forth and so on, and was the price for our sin, paid the price for our sin, and we confessed him as Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We believed and spoke. That's how we got into the things of God. But he didn't say, Paul here didn't say, we had the Spirit of Faith when we got saved. He said, we having, have is one thing, but he didn't even say have. He said, having, you know, having is continuous. Continually, we have this. We continue to walk in the Spirit of Faith that we, that got us into the kingdom of God, believing and speaking. You know, there's verses that talk about Matthew. Jesus mentioned it. You can find it in Luke where Jesus talked about concerning his Father, concerning us. He said that when we come and when we confess him, he confessed Jesus before or here on earth, that he will confess us before the Father in heaven.
Amen.
That's what part of his intercessory ministry is today.
Amen.
In other words, whatever we say based on God's word today, based on who God is to us today, those words are taken by the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus, and they're taken into heaven.
Yes.
And Jesus passes them on to the Father.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever you confess before, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which
Amen.
Is in heaven.
Amen.
So those words are taken on. Now notice he didn't just say, confess me as Savior.
Right.
Although obviously that's the first thing he's talking about.
Right.
But he didn't just stop there. How many of you know he's not just Savior?
Yeah.
He's Deliverer. He's our victory. He's our peace. He's our joy, our victory. He's everything that we need. And if we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what Psalm 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If we say that in the presence of our enemies down here, then he'll take that into the presence of the Father.
Yes.
Hebrews 7:22 says Jesus is the surety.
The surety.
It's the surety. The word surety in the Greek means guarantee.
Yes. Amen.
It literally means bail money. Literally. The surety of the new covenant. Jesus is the surety of the new covenant.
Yeah.
In other words, that's what he's in heaven doing right now. He's guaranteeing all the terms and provisions of the covenant.
Amen.
And when we confess, when we believe what he said and confess it,
mm-hmm.
not just something we pull out of the air, but something that he said.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, he ought to recognize what he said when he hears us talking.
Yes.
He hears us talking. He should recognize what he said. He's not obligated to do what we say.
Right.
He's obligated to do what he said.
Yes, amen.
But it won't happen just because he said it.
That's right.
Jesus said, Mark 11:24, Mark 23, you'll have what you say. You say.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So what are you saying about whatever situation? What are you saying about it? And I'm not just talking about in church. What are you saying about it whenever the devil's breathing the hot breath of unbelief down your neck? And he said, that's what the Spirit of Faith does. It believes and speaks. It doesn't say what it sees. It says what the Word says.
Amen.
Amen. And what he said is greater than what you see.
Yes.
And it is eternal. What he said is eternal. And whenever we are in agreement with what he said, remember the Bible said, we look not to things that are seen, but to things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. You can look in the Word, and the Word's eternal, look in your life and not see it.
That's right.
But see, what is eternal, let's put it this way, what is temporal is subject to what is eternal.
Yes, yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Are you one of those places that believes you'll have what you say if you base it on the Word and you believe it in your heart? That's what Jesus said.
Yes.
Well, that's just we don't believe that. Well, you don't believe what Jesus said then in Mark 11:23. Yeah. Amen. We still love you, but it's going to limit you in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have learned to agree with God, to take him at his word. And if he said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, then he has. That's us. That's who we are. That's what we have. If he said in Ephesians, what is it, 1:6, he has accepted us in the beloved, then he has. Well, I just feel so unworthy. Well, don't talk your feelings. Talk what he said. He said you're accepted in the beloved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The beloved is Jesus.
Yes.
We're accepted in Christ.
Yes.
I'm accepted at the throne of God. I'm welcome there. Actually, Job says he sees our face with joy.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Because of righteousness.
Yes.
I don't remember the reference on that, but you can look up at least one of these verses. Sees our face with joy. He delights in us coming to him. He's not like, oh, it's you again. What do you need this time? No, he loves it. He sees our face with joy. Amen. I mean, what if you go to a friend's house and they open the door and say, oh, well, you wouldn't feel too welcome, right? But what if they go, oh, my goodness, this is great. Come on in. That's the way God is when you come to the throne of grace. You're welcome there. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at some of this. So we have the same spirit of faith, and we believe, and we therefore speak. I don't know if you were here Wednesday night or if you listened to the Wednesday night service, but the Lord spoke to me and said he wanted me to lead out in the spirit of faith.
Yes.
And he explained it to me, and he said basically provide leadership in the body of Christ in the spirit of faith like Joshua and Caleb did in Israel in a time when some are being just walking by unbelief, like in the day of the 10 spies coming back. You remember they spoke unbelief and they stirred up the whole congregation in unbelief. And so he's asking some of us to be willing to provide leadership. I'm not the only one, you know that. But he's asking some of us to lead out in this. And so he's needing someone to keep on preaching this, keep on demonstrating this. There's a life available to you that walking by sight keeps you out of.
Yeah.
And that life is stepping out on what God said, sometimes out over the aching void with nothing under you but the Word of God.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Nothing under you but what God said.
Right.
And watching that Word support that step of faith. I remember years ago, I was in a meeting. Brother Hagin was preaching, ministering. It was really a Holy Ghost meeting. Right in the middle of it, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I want you to quit your job. This is way back, what year was it? 19, whatever. I don't remember. 90, I don't even remember the year. I had to go back and look. But we were both, Pastor Debbie and I had a job. We were helping in healing school. We were traveling, starting to travel to some in the ministry and full-time travel, not full-time, excuse me. We were moving towards full-time traveling ministry, but just had some meetings from time to time scheduled. And so, but I'll never forget, he said, I want you to quit your job in this meeting. I want you to quit your job and I want you to go into the full-time ministry. Well, I kind of, it was with the, we were shouting and praising God, and I heard that. I'm like, praise the Lord. Sort of took the shout out of me, you know. So I said, I'm sitting there concocting and formulating a plan in my mind. Okay, I'll do that, but Pastor Debbie, she can keep on working while I get this started, you know, so we have some income. And I'm calculating this all out, and I'm thinking, well, I got this all figured out. I'll share this with her. I said, well, the Lord spoke to me tonight and said he wanted me to go into the full-time ministry. So I started telling her my plan. You know, you can keep on working so we have some income while we get this started and so forth. And she said, well, hold on. She said, the Lord said, same thing to me. The same service said the same thing to me. Told me to quit my job. It's time to go into full-time ministry. I said, whoa, wait, no. You know, I can't. And I felt like to do that, we were going to step off the top of the Empire State Building. You know, it's just like, how on earth? And I must have, I don't know how many months I did that. I'm on the top of the Empire State Building going, I just can't. I just can't. And finally, I asked the Lord one day, I said, how do I do that? he's told us to quit our jobs and go to the full time. I said, how do I do that?
Yeah.
He said, you just do it.
Yeah. All right.
Revelation. See, God had that revelation before Nike. They came up. Just do it. Hallelujah. So we got an agreement and did it. And we wished after we did it, we wished we'd have done it earlier because God just started moving in our life. Praise the Lord. So that's the spirit of faith. Amen. The spirit of faith. Say it out loud. I have the same spirit of faith. And so there's some things that God wants us to lead out in this area. Remember, we were talking about Hebrews 10:39, and we quoted the Woosh translation. As for us, this is Hebrews 10:39, we are not of the shrinking back kind. I like this verse. Who draw back to perdition, that means destruction, but of the believing kind, who believe to the end of the saving of the soul. Amen. What kind are you? We're the believing kind. Are you? That was awfully weak for spirit of faith, family church. What kind are you? Are you the drawback kind or are you the believing kind? I believe this is what the Holy Ghost was talking about when Brother Hagin prophesied at one of the very first, somewhere up there, one of the first Bible, Rainbow Bible Training Center graduations. He got over to the Spirit and started prophesying, and he started talking about the new breed. A new breed. In other words, I believe he's talking about the believing kind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's amazing that you have to, it's amazing that some believers don't believe. Can you imagine that, a believer that don't believe? But we're of the believing kind. Say it out loud, that's us. Now, really, there's so much we can say, but I was led of the Spirit, really. Clearly led of the Spirit to get on the prayer side of this.
Amen.
Talk a little bit about the spirit of faith in prayer.
Yes, amen.
How does the spirit of faith, and we shared some Wednesday night about just the spirit of faith in general, but it's an attitude that gets in you because the Word of God gets in you.
Yes.
You know, if the Word of God gets in you about divine healing, I don't criticize people that don't have a spirit of faith about divine healing. I just know the Word's not in them in that area.
Yes.
Amen. It's not necessarily a sin to not have the Word in you in an area, but it is mightily inconvenient.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know, but yet right on the other hand, I don't get upset at people. I just know the words. Because when the Word gets in you, you don't just let whatever comes steamroll over you. Now, the Word getting in you doesn't mean things won't come. It just means we always triumph. Always triumph.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Faith doesn't mean you won't have tests or trials. Some people get that wrong idea.
Yeah.
Well, if I had faith, I wouldn't have tests or trials. And they're kind of ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going through something, they're kind of ashamed. Yeah. They don't want the pastor to know I'm going through something.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shame in going through something.
Yeah. Come on.
We're family. We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Besides that, I've learned you start criticizing somebody else for going through something, you're probably going to have to go through the same.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably going to have to go through the same thing. I've learned that the hard way.
Yes, come on.
Amen. AKA ingrown toenail. You're laughing because if you're a visitor here, you don't know that story, but I criticized my wife for having an ingrown toenail. And then weeks or months later, got an ingrown toenail. I said, well, Lord, I'm going to believe God. He said, no, you're not. You're going to have it cut out, just like your wife, just like you criticized your wife for having it cut out. Well, I learned the hard way. Just don't be critical of other people when they go through things.
Yeah.
Amen. So there's no condemnation. There's no shame in going through something. I don't have any trouble with somebody going through something. I have trouble with people that don't, that they know how to stand in faith, but they don't.
Yeah, come on.
That's the only time Jesus rebuked his disciples.
Amen.
He didn't rebuke them for their measure of faith. He rebuked them for not using what they had. That's the truth. You look through the Gospels. Where's your faith? Remember, they were going across the other in the sea, and they said, woke him up, and said, don't you care that we perish? And he said, he rebuked the storm. And they said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? In other words, he didn't say they didn't have it. He said, where'd you put it? Where'd you put it? It surely wasn't in your mouth. Amen. Nope, not in there. I can't find it in there. Where's your faith? Well, see, somebody can have faith in their heart and not use it.
Exactly.
And it'll do them no more good as if they had none at all. But so the spirit of faith doesn't just believe something, it talks it. It's bold. It's talking the way the Word of God says, and it says what the Word of God says is true. So anyway, so we're going to get on that. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Go back there and get that if you didn't get that. It's worth your time, to be honest. Praise the Lord. Now, James chapter number 5. Let's talk about the spirit of faith in prayer. My goodness, already 20 minutes past. How are we going to get this out? Lord, help me. Now, James chapter number 5. We look at verse number 16. While you're turning there, Luke's gospel, Jesus said, Satan, he's talking to Peter. He said, Satan has desired to have you, Peter, that he might sift you as wheat. But he said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. The Amplified Classic says Satan has desired and asked incessantly that you be given up out of the power and keeping of God. Did you get that? Satan has asked excessively. He's asked for some of you that you be given up. Just give up on them. Give up on them. Let them give them up out of the power and keeping of God. Peter said, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. In other words, his prayer life was keeping him in the power and keeping of God. His prayer life. In other words, his prayer life, Jesus' prayer life would not give things, certain things up. He wouldn't give certain people up.
Amen.
That's the spirit of faith.
Come on, amen.
Because you can see things, you can see the devil coming for some people.
Absolutely.
And not not provide the power of God to them through your prayer life.
Yes, sir.
Now, some believers don't even know how to do that. But if you don't do it for some people, that the enemy will take them out. But a spirit of faith in prayer says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to keep making power available to them. Keep making power available to them. Now look here in James 5:16. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, say that out loud, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That would include women too. How many of you know man is mankind? They're human, man and woman.
Yes.
Praise God. In fact, if it wasn't for the women, some of us men, we don't know where we'd be.
That's true. That's so true.
I hear some high-pitched amens. I don't see. Amen. But the effectual fervent prayer. King James says the effectual fervent prayer, Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
So I want you to see something here that when it comes to the spirit of faith in prayer, he connects here the Holy Ghost. How many of us are inspired by the Spirit? The Holy Ghost. He's connecting effective prayer to righteousness. Notice who's able to do this. Righteous people. Well, that's the problem. I just have so many faults. Oh, get over yourself. Yeah. Welcome to the human race, you know. The effective prayer of the righteousness. How are we righteous?
Come on.
God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We're made that. We didn't earn that.
Nope.
We were made that.
Amen. Yes,
in the new birth, that became our new nature.
Yes, amen.
Nature, righteousness is, yes, it is right living, but first of all, it is a new nature. It's the nature that we have in the new birth. Bible says we're created in Ephesians chapter 4, verses whatever there, 5, 6, 7, down and through there, created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. We're created, talking about the new creation.
Yeah.
We weren't created, anyway, so I won't get into that. But the new creation is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
So that's who you've been made. You were made that.
Yes.
You didn't earn that. You didn't say, I'm going to clean up my life and become righteous. No, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're not righteous by our own good works. We're righteous by faith in the work of Christ.
Amen.
And we're created with that nature.
Yes.
Now your nature is not a nature of sin. Now your body has the nature of sin in it. Your body will do anything any old sinner will do. But the nature of righteousness is now in your spirit.
Yes.
And he said, that's who is able to pray like this.
Yes.
Somebody said, but I have so many faults. Well, keep reading the next few verses. Elias, was a man subject to like passions like as we are. In other words, he's human just like us. He had faults and failures just like us. Is that verse 17? Is that what the next verse says? Elijah is a man subject like passions. How many? We have record of his faults in the Bible. We see him wanting to quit. We see him just being weak and not doing the right thing sometimes. But he said, in other words, he's just like us. Aren't you glad God, in some sense of the word, you almost are glad God put some people's faults in there. Like David, for example. God put some people's faults in the Bible. But yet, we see how God used David. Glory to God. And we look at that and we go, well, there's hope for me.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So whenever we see people's faults, we don't see them having to do without because of their faults. And Elijah had a powerful prayer life, even though he was a man subject to, passions like as we are. In other words, he had faults, he had failures, he messed up, he did the wrong thing, he got discouraged, he got everything. He just had just human as anybody else. But he had such a prayer life that he prayed and rain stopped. Then he prayed again and it started raining again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's what he means when he says righteous. And he's not talking about perfect, never make any mistakes. That's not, I'm not saying we should just live on purposely just making mistakes. I don't think anybody with the right heart really wants to do that. But right on the other hand, we have made mistakes. And so, but regardless of that, because of our standing, listen to this. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yes.
A righteous man. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, notice the word righteousness. Righteousness. Righteous is the word here, but righteous or righteousness. The word righteousness means right standing with God.
Yes.
And notice that word standing.
Yes.
Standing. Righteousness is right with God. Yes, we understand that because of the blood of Jesus. But yet it is more than that. It is a standing.
Yes.
Amen.
It is a place that we stand. Before God, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. It's a place we stand before God with rights.
Yeah.
Righteousness.
Yes.
Rights. We have some rights at the throne of God. Oh my goodness, the service is, the preaching time's half over and I just now got it started. A number of years ago, the Spirit of God spoke to me very distinctly. I'll never forget it. He said to me, there's further revelation coming concerning the authority of the believer. And I was excited about that. I wrote that down. I laid hold of it. And I started believing God. Because I know nothing's automatic just because God says it.
Yeah.
You got to mix your faith with it.
Yeah.
But he said, further revelation. So I started believing. Father, I'm believing you. And I started praying about that. For that further revelation concerning the authority of the believer. Now I fully, in my mind, I was fully focused on the authority we have over Satan as a believer. Mm-hmm. And we have that authority, don't we? Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Remember the Bible talks about resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's all talking about our authority.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so there's so much to that. We've shared much about that. But I was I was thinking along that line when he said there's further revelation coming to the authority of the believer. But as I started believing God for further revelation, and I don't believe it was just for me, but the body of Christ. But further revelation to me came to me. I never had seen something. It's not that it wasn't in the Bible. It's just that things can be in the Bible and you not see it. But what started coming to me is what I've been looking for a congregation hungry enough to share it.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
to be honest.
That's us.
But what started coming to me was not our authority over the authority we have over Satan, but the authority we have with God.
Amen.
I didn't say over God to boss him around. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. And we have authority over Satan to tell him where to get off.
Yes, come on.
This is where you get off, right here. That's authority over him. When I say authority with God, I'm not talking about, you know, bossing God around. That's not, see, we're reverent of God. We don't do that.
Right.
But we do but we have been given authority with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Say it out loud, with him. In other words, we have a right at the throne of grace. We have a standing, and we have the right to have a say. Say it out loud, we have a right to have a say. As this started coming to me and I started seeing it in the Word, and boy, I really want to get into some of this and share some scriptures with you. And as we go, I used to just go real fast, and people didn't get half what I'm saying. So I've slowed down a lot. And that's both fun and not fun, because you got so much you want to get to. But as I started seeing this, I started having experiences along this line that in prayer, God would let it up to me what I said about it. I think some of you heard my testimony about praying for my dad. He was probably only 70. What year? I think it was maybe 72 years old. I could be wrong, but somewhere in that age range, he had an operation. And then as a result of the operation, sepsis set in. And you know about sepsis because your dad, remember that he was raised up from the dead.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Because the doctor said basically, I mean, I remember talking to that doctor whenever your dad was in the hospital. We were up there and talking to the doctor, and I said, "Doc, you know, what is this sepsis? I've heard of it, but you know, you hear terms, don't know what they mean. You're not a doctor." And he said, it's like a poison, and it's basically fatal. There's very few people ever come out of it.
Yep.
Remember that? Did you talk to him too? I remember I talked to him. And so I knew a little bit about, but anyway, her dad was raised up and healed.
Yeah.
Amen. How long did he live? Seven years. Seven more years.
Yep.
Praise God. It was a tremendous experience we had. We were around Miss Leanne, and I don't know, remember Matt, you were there, and some other people from the church, and she's always there. We say we have a prayer meeting, she shows up. But man, the power of God fell, and the Holy Ghost moved. Anyway, it's a long story. Get that story from Leanne. She'll tell you all about it. But so he was healed. But anyway, so I had remembered that experience whenever I'm praying about my dad, and they said he got sepsis of the blood. So I'm thinking, well, yeah, the doctors, I remember they say this is pretty much fatal.
Yeah.
But how many of you know it's not just up to what they say?
That's right.
What are we going to say about it?
Yeah.
So I remember distinctly, I don't remember if it was a public corporate prayer meeting or how it was. I mean, we were praying in this auditorium. I remember distinctly, I'm praying. Some of us are here praying. And I'm praying. I walk back there, kind of somewhere, and sat down in one of these chairs. I'm just talking to God about my dad. Because the doctors are saying this is not going to go well. And I started pleading his case. I started asking God for lengthening his life. 72 years old is not long life. I used to think it was long life when I was 29, but now, 70, 72, that's just young whippersnapper, you know? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, life doesn't get good till you turn 60 or something like that, right? Come on now. Amen. Just got enough sense to live right, you know? Anyway, so I'm praying, I'm talking to God. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, he's not old enough to die. You said you'd give us long life." And I'm pleading his case. Remember Isaiah 43, 25 and 26? Come, let us plead together. Remember that?
Yep.
He said, started out saying, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be washed white as snow." Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. "Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Come, let us plead together. Well, what are we going to plead? Plead what he just said.
Come on.
"Thy sins and iniquities, you said you wouldn't remember him anymore."
Yeah, that's right.
And plead whatever the word says.
Yes.
take God's word to him in prayer. The word was given us to take to God in prayer. Did you know that? The word is ours. It belongs to us. Why did God give us the word? To take to him in prayer.
Yes.
To stand on.
Yes. Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I started taking God's word to him in prayer. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy. I know my dad wasn't satisfied. He said, you'd give us long life and that would satisfy us. And so I started pleading his case. And I said, Lord, I said, I'm asking you to spare his life from this, that he not die this way. You know, there's better ways to die than this way. That he not die this way. And I'm asking you to spare his life. And the Lord said, all right. He said, I said that we would plead together. Then that's what you plead. And if that's what you ask me, that's what I'll do. He said, but let me plead my side. Because he said, let us plead together.
Yeah.
I'm sitting right back there. And I distinctly remember all this. Yes. He said, let me tell you what my side is.
Yeah.
My side is the rest of his life's not going to be well physically. Mm. Well, I didn't want to hear that, but I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I mean by that. I just kind of tuned that out.
Yeah.
I just focused on what I was pleading. I'm asking you to lengthen his life. Not, did he not die this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's telling me, I'll give that to you if that's what you ask me. In other words, whatever you say about it is what I'll do. That's a foreign concept to a lot of people. But see, I had already started getting some understanding of the word along this line about our standing, our rights, our standing before God, our authority to have a say in some things. Are you still there? So I said, okay, I hear you, but I'm latching on to that he not died this way.
Yeah.
I'm holding fast to that.
Yeah.
And so he said, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the prayer time. And the doctors were amazed. It all turned.
Yeah.
My dad was healed.
Yeah.
And he lived till he was almost just a couple of weeks. I think it was a week or two to his 80th birthday. Was that 8 more years or something like that? And so I saw something. I saw God let me have a say in that.
Right.
That's kind of the first time I ever really ventured out into that kind of boldness, you might say,
right,
at the throne of grace.
Right.
But see, that's a spirit of faith.
Yes.
Amen.
That's not just whatever the will be.
Right.
That's standing there saying, this is what the word says. I'm claiming your word.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
Somebody said, I don't know about that. Well, you ever remember Abraham in the Old Testament, Genesis 18? God came, sent angels actually, said to Abraham, I needed to let you know, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And so Abraham, because Lot's living there. So Abraham started pleading Sodom and Gomorrah's case. And he said, far be it for the judge of all the earth to do the wrong thing. He said, if there's 50 people there, I'm asking you to spare the city for 50 people. God said, all right, I'll spare the people. I'll spare the whole city if there's 50 righteous there. And Abraham said, well, I wouldn't want the judge of all the earth to do the wrong thing. What if there's just 40 people there? I ask you to spare it for 40 people. And God said, all right, I'll spare it if there's 40 there. And he kept going and he got down to 20 and God said, I'll spare it for 20. Then he said, don't let the anger of the Lord be hot against me. What if there's just 10? I ask you to spare it if there's just 10. He said, I'll spare it. Because Abraham said, I don't want to make you angry. He said, let me just ask one more time. What if there's just 10?
Yeah.
He said, I'll spare it for 10.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Abraham shouldn't have said one more time. Because he quit right there at 10.
Yeah.
But there wasn't 10.
Right. Wow.
There was only Lot. Lot, his wife.
Yeah.
Well, two daughters, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only probably 4 that we have record of.
Yeah.
So Lot was called out and the city was destroyed.
Right.
But think about that. God was letting Abraham determine whether Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed or not.
Right. Yep.
That's a covenant man praying.
Yes.
That's a man who knows his rights.
Yes.
knows his covenant, knows the standing that he has before God, that he has a say about some things.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, I wouldn't dare do that. Well, that's because of sin consciousness.
All right, come on.
You have the right to take God's word. God gave you his word to come plead your case with. What does the word say? Well, I don't know what the word says. Okay, well, then you're at a disadvantage. In our society, in our legal system, we're a nation of laws. Don't let anybody tell you we're not. We're a nation of laws. We're not a nation of men. We're a constitutional republic. Talking about the United States of America. It's really not even a democracy. People talk about democracy, democracy. We're a constitutional republic. In other words, the Constitution is higher than any man. And so that's what governs our nation. Supposed to. Amen. And don't you ever feel shame for holding people to the Constitution of the United States.
Right. Yes, sir.
We have a right to the freedom of speech. We have a right to assemble, peaceably assemble. We have the right to bear arms, right? And all kinds of people want to try to take all those rights away from us. But see, why do we still have them? Because people keep going illegally, and they go to what do they call that? Adjudicate or whatever. In other words, they take it to the legal system, and the legal system upholds their rights. But do you know that they have to have? To go to the legal system, you have to have what the legal system calls standing.
Yes.
You have to have standing.
Yes.
What does that mean? You have to have standing. There has to be a law on the books or something in the Constitution or somewhere something is written in our government, in our laws. Not our government, but our laws.
Yes.
Something that is written that covers your case.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And that you have had wrongs done to you based on that which is written. Right? And so if you have something on the books that says you have standing, or let's say it this way, if you have something on the books that says your rights have been violated, that means you have standing. Especially if you've been wronged in that area, you have standing. Now, if I haven't been wronged in that area, I can't go and say, well, so-and-so did me wrong. No, they didn't do you any wrong.
Right.
But if I was wronged, and I can prove from the law that I was wronged, and I can take that to court, I can get freed from the oppression or however I'm being wronged. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? That's called standing.
Yes.
Well, we're in a kingdom called the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And the Constitution is in your lap. You're holding the Constitution of the kingdom of the United States. Excuse me. Well, yeah, we ought to put it. That'd be good for the United States too. But the Constitution of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
This is Constitution.
Yes.
This is what governs the economy of God, the kingdom of God.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And it shows you what you have in that kingdom. So it shows you your rights.
Yes.
So if Satan comes to violate your rights, you can go to the high court of heaven with this word, stand on it, and you'll have standing before God.
Yes.
And you can get redress, they call it. You can get delivered from that opposition, that oppression, that wrong. You can get the money paid back or whatever. You know, there's so many different kinds of cases. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But you got to have standing, number one. You got to have standing. Number two, you got to be good at taking advantage of that standing. There are cases that are lost in courts of law sometimes because somebody wasn't good at presenting their case. Their lawyer wasn't any good at presenting their case, or they tried to use the wrong statute or you know, whatever. You know, they're taking the wrong law to the books and it doesn't apply to that situation. They're not good lawyers. Hallelujah. But you do have standing before God. Yes. And if you can find the scripture that covers your case.
Yes. Amen. Yep. Amen.
And you get good at taking that to the throne of grace.
Yes.
And pleading your case with it.
Yes.
Let me tell you something about your judge. He's your father.
Right.
He's kind of biased.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. We're in with the judge, you know. And our advocate for the defense, the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
is our Savior. And if he says, don't say anything other than what I say, because sometimes somebody will get up there on the judgment stand, they're being cross-examined, and they'll say all kinds of the wrong things. And the judge will say, or the lawyer will say, don't say anything unless I tell you to say it.
Yeah.
Only say what I say. And that's what it means whenever it says,
yes,
if you'll confess with your mouth.
Yes. Come on.
If you'll confess with your mouth before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven.
Amen.
Praise God. You just say what this says.
Amen.
Just say what this says. Glory be to God. It's not the courts have, listen to me very carefully. Even in our culture, it's not the court system's job to follow you around and look for things that have been done wrong to you. And heaven's not going to follow you around and say, you know, and look for and try to make everything right that happens to you. You're going to have to go to heaven.
Yeah.
To the throne. I'm talking about the throne of grace.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to go. You're going to have to be good at standing up for your rights. Praise the Lord. The court system doesn't follow people around and spoon feed them justice. You got to go and claim your justice. Amen. Some go, I don't know why God didn't do that. Well, did you go make your claim?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I just asked God for this and that. Well, that's not based on anything in the
right,
word.
Right.
What does the covenant say?
Yeah.
See, we're talking about constitution, but you can also call it covenant. What does the covenant say?
Right.
Go over to Psalm 34, verse number 10.
Oh, yes.
Woo, 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 woo. There's things that we got to say, but it takes it takes time to get there and work up to it.
Yes.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Makes tremendous power available. Praise the Lord. What does the word have to say about your case? Brother Hagin used to say that all the time. Find scriptures that cover your case in prayer, and then you have a firm foundation for faith. But let me just say this. Scriptures need to not only abide in you about what your situation is, maybe healing or something, but it needs to abide in you about prayer.
Yes.
It needs to abide in you about your standing before God.
Yes.
Some people know what belongs to them, but they're not good at taking that to God.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Good.
So have you found Psalm 34? Did I say verse number 10? Look at the Amplified Classic. The young lions lack food and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, or they who seek the Lord, excuse me, though they who seek inquire of and require the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of his word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. None of them. None of them. None of them. In other words, if you know how to go to God on the authority of his word, you'll not lack any beneficial thing. You and I've got to develop a spirit of faith about verses like this.
Yeah, that's so good.
You go to God. Seek they who seek, inquire of, and require the Lord by right of their need and authority of his word. By right of their need, you got a need in an area?
Come on.
Are your rights being violated in an area?
Come on.
Is Satan, the prosecuting attorney, trying to strip something away from you?
Come on now.
And get you to accept it?
Come on.
And cry and say, that's right, I've made so many failures, I've done so many things wrong.
Say it. Come on.
Trying to break you down on the witness stand? Well, you won't win any battles that way.
Right.
You got to learn how to stand up for your rights.
Yes.
Look at that. On authority of his word, my right of their need.
Yes.
Now here's, and I don't know if you can handle it or not. But look at that. Those who seek, inquire of, and require.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Require the Lord. Well, you can't make any, you can't require God to do anything.
Yes, you can.
Sure you can.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Well, I'm going to find another church. I mean, that's just bad doctrine. Well, you mean the Bible verses are bad doctrine? You're not going to require God to do anything. He does what he wants.
Yes, he does.
Well, how could a mortal man require God to do anything? You can require of him, require him to do something because he requires it of himself.
Yeah. Yes.
He said, my covenant will I not break.
Yes.
Nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth.
Yes.
He said, have I said it and will I not do it?
Yes.
Have I spoken and won't I bring it to pass?
Come on. Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's not like man.
Right.
Man might say, you know, you ought to come over to our house sometime and we have some good fellowship. And then you go away and you think, I wish I hadn't said that. You know, and hope they don't make a claim on it because you said it and you got to be good on, you know. God's not like man. He doesn't just say things.
No, he doesn't.
And then, I don't know why I said that. I don't want to do that. His word is a revelation of what he longs to do for people.
Come on, amen, amen.
See, when you read that require, don't get the idea that he doesn't want to do it. If he didn't want to do it, he shouldn't have said he wanted to do it. If he didn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add all these things to you. If he didn't want to add all these things to us, and really read the whole counsel of the word, make us rich, he shouldn't have said it.
Exactly.
He shouldn't have said it.
Exactly. He shouldn't have said it.
Yeah. Don't say things you don't mean. How many of you know God don't say things he don't mean?
Right. Come on.
You parents, if you've ever said, you kids, you get straight A's on your report card, we'll take you to Disneyland this year for vacation or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you know they're going to... They're going to hold you to that.
Exactly, yes.
Daddy, you said. You said, look, we got straight A's.
Yeah.
You might have wished you hadn't have said it.
Yeah.
Because they're going to hold you to it. God's inviting you to come hold him to his word.
That's good, yes.
That's what Isaiah 43, 25 and 26 is. He said, come, let us plead together. In other words, plead your case, I think the Amplified says. In other words, bring my word. He's inviting you.
Yeah.
That's an invitation. Come, come, come.
Yeah.
Bring my word back to me.
Amen.
Bring my word back to me.
That's so good.
And how many of you know, when you bring his word back to him, he's required to honor what he said.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Well, you can't make God do anything. You have wrong thinking. You think you're acting like he doesn't want to.
Right.
He said it because he wants to.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's just looking for somebody with a spirit of faith.
Yes.
Brother Hagin tells a story about, and this is where I started getting some insight into some things. He tells a story about a man that he had, I think it was his Sunday school superintendent that died. He was working at, he fell into some machinery at the job site, and he was pretty much dead. He wasn't quite dead, but he was almost there. Whenever they got there, Brother Hagin got there and this man's wife, and the doctors were around him, and they said, well, he's not dead, but he's almost dead. The doctor said to Brother Hagin, knew Brother Hagin's his pastor, and that the man's wife is right here, take Mrs. Haynes, her name was Haynes, take Mrs. Haynes and aside, just prepare her. And so he said, Brother Hagin said, I took her aside, and I didn't prepare her for his death. I said to her, actually he said, she said to me before I even said anything to him or her. She said, isn't it good that we have inside information?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So he realized, now here's a woman in faith.
Yes.
And she said, inside the Bible, inside information. Yes. What is inside the Bible information? With long life I'll satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. See, someone, well, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about it. So you ought to think about those things.
That's good, yeah.
If you don't think about it, you won't come plead your case.
Right, yeah, all right now.
So they didn't, Brother Hagin didn't prepare her for him to die. They just laid hold of him, laid hold of his spirit.
Yeah.
And the doctors thought he would just go anytime because he's quite in bad shape, hurt quite bad physically, you know, fell into the machinery, whatever. And so they just didn't want to move him because they thought, well, he's going to, if we move him, he's going to die for sure, you know, because he's in such traumatic condition. But he just kept on hanging on, just kept on hanging on. Of course, they're holding on to his spirit. So finally, the doctor said, well, he just keeps hanging on, Brother Hagin. I think we can try to get him in the ambulance and try to get him to the doctor. And so they did, and they're just holding on to his spirit. And he got all the way to the hospital, and he lived. And Brother Hagin's walking up and down the hall, said, now, Lord, you said in your word, this man's not old enough to die. With long life, I'll satisfy. Yeah. He's not old enough to die. Yeah. Besides that, and he started pleading his case.
Yeah.
He said, this man, I think he said he gives 30% of his income into the church. He's the best witness and testimony for Jesus in this community that I know of. He's a good witness to the businessmen. He's a businessman, or he had some interaction with some businessmen. And he's a good witness to all these businessmen. And he visits families for me and helps me in the church.
Yeah.
Families that are, you know, struggling or something, he'll go visit them. And he helps me as the pastor.
Yeah.
I need him. And if I need him, you need him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the under-shepherd, you're the over-shepherd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I plead, I'm not going to let him die. Brother Hagin found himself saying that. He didn't even know why he was saying it. Because at that time, he didn't understand the authority he had himself. But he just kept saying, I'm not going to let him die. And he would he would go back in there, and the man's still breathing and still living. And so, finally, Brother Hagin got tired because he's doing that for quite a long time. And finally, he started falling asleep. And every time he'd fall asleep, the man would start dying. And Brother Hagin would walk up or wake up to the nurses rushing in, you know, kind of thing. And so he'd go out in the hall and he'd plead the man's case. No, I'm not going to let him die. I'm not going to let him die. I need him. You need him. So forth and so on. He's not old enough to die. You said in your word, long life I'll satisfy you. So forth and so on. And really, to be honest with you, I don't know if you've read your Bible very carefully, but when somebody's a great supply to the body of Christ, you got grounds to plead their case in. Remember that young girl named Rhoda in the Bible? Those people kept coming and saying, look what she did for me. She made my children clothes. She did this for me. Plead people's works? Oh, absolutely.
Come on, amen.
No works, nothing to plead.
Right.
Except, Lord, have mercy.
Yes, amen.
On this poor soul that doesn't add anything to the body of Christ. Some of you didn't shout on that.
Come on.
But Brother Hagin kept pleading his case. Finally, the man came out of it enough that they said, we think he's going to live. So they rolled him in, did all the x-rays and so forth and so on. And the man came out of it. And he came out of it and said, and then started telling his testimony. He said he was up in heaven already. He had died. He went to heaven. And he said he had met Jesus. And he was so glad to meet Jesus. He was about to bow down to worship him. Said, I'm so thankful, Jesus, for all you've done for me. And Brother Hagin said, or the man said to Brother Hagin, Jesus said, you can't come yet. Oh, but I want to come. You ever notice nobody has ever gone to heaven and wanted to come back to earth?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And nobody in hell ever wanted to stay in hell. They wanted to get out and come back to earth.
Yes.
Get a clue. Which way do you want to go? I mean, everybody that went to hell that we have record of wanted out.
Right. Yes, sir. Come on.
You know, rich man Lazarus' story, he wanted out of there.
Yeah.
So, but he said, Jesus, I don't want to go back. He said, no, you have to go back.
Yeah.
And the man said, Jesus, I don't want to go back. And Brother Hagin said, the man told him, no, you have to. Jesus said, you have to go back. He said, why do I have to go back? You know, he's trying to stay. And he said, why do I have to go? He said, because Brother Hagin won't let you come. And he said, Jesus pulled a curtain back, sort of like a spiritual veil, maybe would be a better way to describe it. Pulled a veil of some kind back, and he could see into the earth realm. And Brother Hagin's walking down the hallway of the hospital saying, no, I'm just not going to let him die. I'm just not going to let him die. And he said, see, Brother Hagin won't let you come. And he said, just like that, he's back in his body. Opened his eyes, there's Brother Hagin. What is that? That's authority with God. That's a standing. That's a place that you can stand before God and have a say about some things.
Yes, come on.
It's not just all up to the devil.
That's right.
Amen.
And really, it's not just all up to God.
Right. That's right. Yep. Come on.
What if you went home? But this isn't going to happen, but I'm just using a hypothetical. What if you went home and somebody had stolen all your furniture out of your house while you're gone? And you never went to the courts about anything, never filed a police report or anything, you know, so they could find those guys, bring them to justice. If you never plead your case, you're never getting that furniture back. You got to stand for what belongs to you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So it's really not up to the courts.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not up to the police per se. It's up to you. Right. Are you going to stand up for your rights?
Exactly. Yes. Yes,
sir. Same thing true with the kingdom of God. That man would have died.
Yeah.
Mr. Haynes would have died.
Yeah.
If Brother Hagin had not said, no, I'm not going to let him die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to other people, God will plead his case, and you can't always change everything.
Right.
But when it comes to yourself,
yeah.
Doctor said, I'm going to give you 6 months to live because of whatever condition in your body. That's not up to the doctors.
That's right. That's so right.
It's not up to the devil.
That's right.
Well, God, it's up to God. No, it's not really up to God. It's up to you. Are you going to stand in your rights?
Yes.
Are you going to take your stand and give you? Somebody said, well, they didn't stand up for their rights. Well, they go on to heaven.
Yeah.
Ain't too bad, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But we might all meet them at their, you know, mansion whenever we get there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of you aren't thinking, maybe you're not sure. You check out of here early. I might show up at your mansion when I get there. So I'm so glad you made it. Good to see you.
Yeah.
But what's this about leaving all the work to us and you checking out?
Exactly, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Require of the Lord. Did you see that? Woo. Listen to this. Oh, I'm so wanting to go on. God's promises are his debts to man. His righteousness and integrity and justice requires him to keep his promises to man, just like the integrity and righteousness of a man today might require him to pay any financial debts he owes. We have a right to come before God in prayer and cash in on those debts.
Amen.
We can call in the debt and call for their payment. Now, they are on our accounts receivable column. They appear as an asset on our balance sheet. Anybody ever seen a balance sheet?
Yeah.
If you have a business, you might have seen a balance sheet.
Yeah.
You have the accounting, work up your finances, and he'll give you a profit and loss statement. It has a balance sheet also, and so forth. So, a balance sheet shows you all that's due to that business, what's, you know, still able to come in. Maybe there's some people that haven't paid their bills or whatever. And then there's certain things that shows that you still owe. Maybe you have a loan for a building, so you owe for that. So that's on your, you know, if it's a loan or a payment that you owe, like a building or something, you bought some equipment on a loan or something, that shows on your, that's not an asset, that's a liability. Now, that's if you bought a building and that building payment shows up on your profit and loss as a liability, the bank's shows up as an asset.
Yeah.
Anybody thinking with me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, you have in your life, you have an asset column. And in that asset column are all the promises of God.
Amen.
Everything God ever said he would do.
Yes.
That's why a missionary could say this over there years ago. A missionary said in China, somebody, he had been over there pretty much all by himself for a while, and somebody went to visit him. Said, how you doing? Because communication's really hard back then. How you doing? He went over just to visit. How you doing? He said, I'm doing wonderful. He said, I got a nickel in my pocket plus all the promises of God. In other words, my asset column is just loaded up. I mean, look at all these promises from God. So God's promises, what he says in his word, it shows up on your asset column. But in God's profit and loss statement, they show up on his profit and loss as a liability. Ooh, glory be to God.
Yes.
They're on God's accounts payable column. They show up as a liability in his balance sheet. He's obligated to pay them when you call for them to be paid down here on earth.
Yes.
Woo. You can call for them to be paid anytime. He's good for it. Hallelujah. He's good for it. He's faithful. His righteousness requires it of him. So when the Bible says require of the Lord, now you understand what that means.
Amen.
He requires it of himself.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't misunderstand me. He wants to do these things.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. It's not like you're twisting his elbow until he says uncle.
No, come on.
No, that he shouldn't have said it. If he didn't want to do it, he shouldn't have said it.
Yeah, come on.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you've got that authority to claim whatever he said he would do. Praise God. I said, praise God. And he even invited you in Isaiah 43 to come. Plead your case.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a challenge. Let's step up to the challenge.
Yes.
Let's learn about this standing that we have before him.
Yes.
And require some things, that they be a certain way.
Yes.
Don't be okay. Like you've heard Pastor Nancy say, you got to let you have whatever you're okay with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's just some things I'm not okay with anymore.
Exactly.
Anybody with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So what he promises, it's a revelation of what he longs to do for man. So, not only do we have promises, but we have standing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our righteousness gives us standing.
Yes.
Prayer is from is to be from an exalted position, a position of privilege. And our position is waiting on our words.
Yes.
You have a privileged position before God. It's called righteousness.
Yes.
But don't just think of being right with God. Yes, but how about rights?
Yeah, amen.
Rights. Hallelujah. Well, we got it introduced. Stand to your feet with me if you would. Praise be to God. When this word gets on the inside of you, it'll make you bold in prayer. Get to make you bold.
Yes.
See, sin consciousness makes weaklings of men.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
It just strips them of all their faith. But righteousness consciousness makes men bold.
Yes.
Not only in the presence of devils and demons.
Yeah.
Not only in the presence of the yakety-yak-yak.
Yeah.
But in the presence of God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying bossing him around. I'm not talking about that. See, he's wanting to do this anyway.
Yes.
You're not trying to talk him into it, but you're just coming in. You have standing, not over him, but standing with him. I don't mean to be irreverent of God whenever I say this, but really, if you think about what Jesus did for us, we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places with Christ. Do you know our standing with God is equal to Jesus standing right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When we were made the righteousness of God, he didn't say the righteousness of some holy saint, the righteousness of God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
That's a different caliber right there.
Yes.
Praise be to God. That's why Jesus said, Lord, or Father, he's talking to Father, John 16, show them that you love them as much as you love me.
Yes.
Would God, if Jesus asked anything right now according to the covenant, would God do it? He'd do it just as quick for you. We need to step up and have a spirit of faith about all that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Jerry Savelle told a story. I think he told this publicly. He said he was one time, he took a trip to Africa. Difference, isn't there? Florida, Africa, kind of different. And Brother Oral Roberts found out he was going. He said, I'll go with you. He said, oh, Brother Roberts, I'd be honored for you to come. But you just have to know my schedule. Like every day, I'm just doing, I'm going, 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 going. He said, no, I want to come with you. So last minute, Brother Oral Roberts packed his bags and went with him. So they had good fellowship. And even some funny stories came out of that trip. It was funny. But anyway, the thing I wanted to point out was he's over there. And Brother Jerry Savelle is preaching to some pastors over there. And he's thinking to himself, this isn't right. I'm preaching all these services. And Oral Roberts is sitting back in the hotel. And he's thinking, I need to ask Brother Oral Roberts to preach. And he's thinking that. But I believe Oral Roberts got to him first. And he said, Brother Jerry, he said, you just tell me, you just command me and I'll do anything you'd command me to do. And he said, Brother Oral Roberts, I don't talk that way to Oral Roberts. I don't command you to do anything. He said, Brother Jerry, I said, you just command me to do whatever you want me to do and I'll do it. And he's like, Brother Oral, I might ask, but I'm not going to. He said, I told you to command me. He said, all right, Brother Oral, I command you to preach the service tomorrow morning. The preachers didn't even know Oral Roberts was there. He said, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you say. That's what God really tells us to do in His Word. You know, there's a verse that actually says, concerning the works of my hand, command ye me. In Isaiah, I don't have the reference in front of me. Woo, glory be to God. In other words, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say to do. Especially if it's in line with the covenant. See, this is, people sometimes wade out into this in fear and trembling. This is not you being haughty, bossy. It's, we do it in reverence. How many of you know God is reverenced? But yet, right on the other hand, we have rights from the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God, praise be to God. I've been saying some things lately. I've been saying, okay, Lord, this just isn't all right anymore. This, and I'm naming some things, it's just not okay anymore. I'm not tolerating that anymore. It's not His problem. It's not His fault that it's that way. It's that I've been tolerating it. So I'm coming to the throne of God. Lord, you said this. You said this. You said this. What do I need to know? How do I get into this? Come on, somebody. Well, I'd be afraid to say something like that. Well, then you'll do without. Read Finney's prayer life. The Bible showed him, opened up this. There's few men through history that have discovered this place. And Finney was one of those that discovered this place, this standing that he had before God. He said, I found myself, he'd get over into the spirit. Sometimes out of your mind, you won't talk that way. But you get over into the spirit, you'll say some things you didn't even, you never dreamed you would say. In fact, you almost want to slap your own mouth for saying it. He said he'd go to cities and pray and say, God, you don't think we're not going to have revival here, do you? That's bold. And he said he would plead his case. And you know his story. He's one of the most successful revivalists in church history. Besides the apostles, you understand. Praise the Lord. But he said, I truly, some of the things I said to God astounded me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, you get over into the spirit and you end up saying some things you wouldn't have said out of your own mind. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's dig around in this place of standing and study it a little bit. What do you think? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that it brings. Father, I sense there's been glimmers of light just starting to come into the spirits of those sitting here. Father, may this revelation of the standing we have before God, the rights we have before God, may this revelation grow. Hallelujah. We thank you. It's in seed form already in many of our lives. But may it grow and grow and grow until we have all the rights that belong to us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for it. And we thank you, Father, for the utterance this morning that helps us get glimpses of this. We'll be careful to give you all the praise for the results. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Lift your hands, please. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you. If you want hands laid on you for healing, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you desire to have hands laid on you for healing, then we'll do that. Lay our hands on you. And this is your, if you've got the word in you, this is your point of contact. Where you can just say to God, Lord, I take claim of my rights. I take claim of my rights. This is your point of contact.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Team, why don't you come on up? You're going to sing that song. I think you had one about healing this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Reach out your hand toward these. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on Jan in the name of Jesus to release your power into her life. We command that to go in the name of Jesus. Be it unto her according to her faith. in Jesus' name. I lay hands on you, Linda, in the name of Jesus, for God's power to be transferred to your body. I say to you, sickness, you leave her body in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on you for healing power to go into your body. Lay hands on you for healing power to go into your body. I command that to be normal in Jesus' name. We don't tolerate it. We don't tolerate it anymore. In the name of Jesus, I lay hands on you. There it goes. God's power for healing in your body. Transfer by the laying on of our hands in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it, Father. I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. I release God's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that your body be surcharged with that power and healed of all that is wrong in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I lay hands on you for the healing of that which is damaged in the name of Jesus. I command those headaches to come back no more. You're done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pain, you go. Be healed now in Jesus' name. I lay hands on you for God's power to be in you, transferred to your body. I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I lay hands on you. There it goes. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that power. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father. A while back, the Lord, I'll lay hands on them as soon as we're done with this. A while back, the Lord instructed me to put a prayer cloth in all of our healing products. When people order them online and they get the physical copy, they'll have a prayer cloth as a point of contact. And we've had these sitting back there. I said, wait until the healing anointing comes on me, and then we're going to lay hands on them. So reach out your hand toward these. Because we're going to put, you know, whenever somebody orders something, we'll take one of these cloths and we'll send it with the, you know, product and then with some instructions about it on the cloth. Father, we lay hands on these cloths now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your power, like it says in Acts, where Paul laid his hands on cloths and handkerchiefs, and that power went into those cloths from his hands, and that power drove out sicknesses and diseases and even demons when that cloth was laid on the sick at a distance from Paul. We thank you right now for that power, that same anointing going into this cloth, these cloths, so that when these cloths are laid on the body of the sick, we thank you, Father, the sickness will be driven out and the anointing will break the yoke and Satan will leave and all of his bondages and all of his demon powers in the name of Jesus. We mix our faith with that. We release our faith and we say it is done. And we thank you for many testimonies as a result. In Jesus' name. Give God praise for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We lay hands on you in the name of Jesus for healing power to go into your body. We command that sickness to leave. Satan, take your hand off of him in Jesus' name. We lay hands on you for healing power. There it goes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, on his word. and thank Him this morning. If you had hands laid on you, that's your point of contact. It's done. It's done. It's done. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. What is that, Father? Maskete. Pray in tongues just a second here. Ha masiki. Mande gidiaka. Nambrazukutuye. Abrebechtiike. Yeah, 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 yeah. My. Ho my. Shiki. Broski. Broshki. Bronzki. Shula. Paski. I've only had this experience two times in our ministry, and I just had it the third time. You can call it crazy. You can do whatever you want to with it. But there's a little baby spirit hanging in the air right here. He wants to come into the earth. God is the Father of spirits. Somebody's believing God for a baby. Who is it? And I it might be on the line, actually. Somebody's believing God for a baby. Are you here? Oh, my goodness. Come up here. Literally, that did not cross my mind. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, of course. I knew that. But I didn't know that. I mean, you know what I mean? It was praise God. Oh, my. Oh, Lord Jesus. My. Thank you, Father. Be it unto them according to their faith. Hallelujah. We release our faith with them. We thank you for that baby girl. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that baby girl. We thank you for that baby girl. Oh. Shakaya. Kete brahma shakaya. Sushtagate. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. 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 Glory to God.
Glory to God.
My. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Sarah, God's been talking to me during the service. Come down here. Talking to me about you. I'm not trying to prolong this, but if the Holy Ghost wants to do something, I want to know what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There's an offer on the table for you from heaven. He's offering you a place in some things in praise and worship. He's offering you a place deeper than you have gone. You've seen it. I sense in my spirit you've gotten some glimpses of it, maybe a time or two, that there's a deeper place. And he's shown you those glimpses just like he did. Not that you're a prophet, but I mean like Elisha had that mantle thrown on him from Elijah. And just for a brief time, he sensed that anointing. And then it wasn't there for another 12 years until he stepped into it. And I'm not saying it'll be 12 years. I'm not saying that. But Elisha got a taste of it so that he would never let go of that in his spirit. So that he would hold fast. That's coming. I'm staying faithful. And that'll come. He gave you glimpses of some things in your spirit. And he wanted you to see it so your spirit would lay hold of it. So lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. And he's offering it to you. And be faithful and let him take you into it. And it'll be marvelous. And you'll be a great blessing. And you'll bring in the glory of the Lord into services. And the hand of the Lord will move because you went there in spirit. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. So it's yours. It's on the table. It's yours for the taking. You can decide. Take it or leave it. Praise God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Know ahead of time that it's going to require a level of consecration. a newly even a higher level of consecration. Not that you've not been consecrated, that's not the point, but sometimes things, there's levels of consecration, and it's going to require, the Lord will lead you into it. It won't be a bondage thing, it'll be a joyful thing. I get to separate myself unto this in a greater way and set this and this and this aside. You say in your heart, what is this, this, and this? It's how the Lord deals with you and the things the Lord deals with you to set aside. And as you do, it won't be a sense of loss. There'll be a sense of gain. I have gained a greater move of God's plan in my life. Hallelujah. So be aware that that consecration will be called for, and be aware the enemy will oppose it, but you've got the word. Just practice the word. Do the word, and you'll always prevail. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, if there's any residual pain in her body or damage in her body from that little incident the other day, I ask you by your power to finish that work up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glad I came to church this morning. Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.